This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we hear from three different people speaking at events next week for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Coming up, Erlene McMichael talks to April Rain, creator of the Oscars So White social media movement that helped diversify the Academy Award nominations process. Rain speaks in Grand Rapids on Monday. And later, I will talk with Miriam Kaba, founder of an organization to end youth incarceration. She speaks Monday morning at Kalamazoo College's Stetson Chapel. But first, the Reverend Jonathan Tremaine Thomas says he had planned on going to Ferguson, Missouri for a short-term assignment in 2014. But then he decided to move his family from Indianapolis, joined the pastoral team at Destiny Church in St. Louis, and continued to work on race and social justice issues. Jonathan Tremaine Thomas will speak on Sunday in Kalamazoo at the Northside Ministerial Alliance's 32nd Annual Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So when I read your blog, you said that you were moving to St. Louis to be, and I'm quoting, a sellout. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, obviously I'm an African-American man, and I am married to a white woman. So sometimes within our community, you can lose the proverbial black card when you marry outside of your race. You know, so I've been accused in some circles at times of being a sellout. But the reality is my interracial marriage has uniquely positioned me to be able to speak not only to the issues of my own community and my own experience as a black man in America, but also to understand even some of the more insensitive perspectives that maybe someone of the majority culture or another experience may have, since I'm married to a white woman who did not grow up in a black community. And so I feel like it's uniquely positioned me to be a bridge. And with that said, you know, we wanted to sell everything. When we saw the intensity of, obviously, 2014 Ferguson, which could almost single-handedly be pointed to as a catalytic moment for the protest culture that we have in America today, when just the intensity of the environment.
So obviously you're moving to the St. Louis area after the shooting death of Michael Brown, which touched off a protest in Ferguson, Missouri. As you know, we sit here and talk now at the beginning of 2018. Do you see signs that there has been some sort of improvement, that there has been progress?
Absolutely. You know, I think that we live in a culture, some people would call it a microwave culture. We want everything quickly, especially the younger kind of millennial generation, maybe those who don't necessarily have a lot of knowledge concerning how intensely painstaking and how long it takes for nations to actually mature and to be transformed, much less small cities like Ferguson. The shooting caught everyone off guard. No one was prepared for the level of unrest that came to Ferguson and came to St. Louis. And so I think there are factions of the city that said that, you know, we've been waiting for change for too long. It's taking too long. But the reality is Ferguson has shown an amazing amount of resilience. The residents there who have labored painstakingly over the last, you know, 3 years, going into the fourth year now, to make reforms. I think the mayor of Ferguson might be the most tested white man in government in America today. He's sat in front of angry mobs of people and been called every name in the book, but he's also taken a long and hard look at himself and the governmental structure there. And I think Ferguson has a long way to go, but there are many wonderful citizens and public servants and activists that are learning how to hear one another and move ahead.
There have been other incidents, though, since you moved to St. Louis. There was the acquittal of Officer Jason Stockley in a fatal shooting in 2011. You were quoted at that time during some of the protests that followed by St. Louis Public Radio saying people are losing hope. They're going, we've marched in the streets, we've had a civil rights movement, we've elected a black president, we've had a woman's suffrage movement. We've had all these rights movements, and then these things still happen. So what is there to do for people when they feel that they are doing things the right way, they're protesting peacefully, and yet they don't see as much progress as they want?
Well, I think the reality is that acquittal was yet another reminder of a history of injustice, not just in Missouri, but in our nation. This state, in particular, the city of St. Louis, was the place where the historic Dred Scott decision happened in 1857, which said that African Americans and the descendants of the African diaspora were not humans. And the U.S. Supreme Court made that landmark decision, which then set in place, it really laid the groundwork for the Jim Crow laws of the South and so many other structural things that have historically oppressed black people. So from the shooting of Mike Brown and the conversation of the value of a black life to, again, another police action situation where, at least on the surface, it seemed pretty point blank that there was an intent to murder and then the officer got off. I think the people are just so weary from the lack of perceived justice. And we know there are gray areas in some of these events that only a jury or a courtroom would have access to the documentation. But the bottom line is, from an emotional standpoint and a psychological standpoint, you have a real weariness and a real hopelessness in the American justice system, especially when you have a proven history of legislation and structures that said on the books that black people were not humans. You know, they say that only a fool does the same thing and expects different results. And I think our model for pursuing justice was what our forefathers and foremothers did in the civil rights movement, the protests, the sit-ins. And we've been doing that. I think we default to those models. But I think we need a higher level of action and engagement.
So what is there to do if not protest? I mean, have you found yet the other thing, the next tool that you would use to try and get progress and advance social justice?
Well, I think one of the valuable things of the current protest movements is protest does work in measure. It gets you to the table. When people don't want to pay attention, it gets attention. I think one of the things that I've noticed over the last few years is there's a void in leadership that possesses the temperament to articulate the concerns of some of the black communities, some of the minority communities, to articulate those concerns in a way that they can be received or heard from those who may be on the other side of the table. There's so much information, so much confusion and even frustration, I believe, on both sides of these issues, that a lot of times, you know, after you've done the battles on the streets, it becomes a battle at the conference table, when we need mediators who can help us lay down our weapons and get to a place where we can really hear one another and move forward.
You wrote an assessment of Ferguson, which at the end explains how we can look at the power of railroads, and that tells us something about our history and also perhaps about our present and how it ties into these issues. Explain that to our audience.
Absolutely. You know, the railroads, when that technology, if you will, first emerged, it was said that, you know, the railroad has made the world smaller. And all of a sudden, there was a connectedness between places that were previously worlds apart. And interestingly enough, Ferguson was a city established as a railroad stop. But the railroad is a metaphor, or in my mind, it's symbolic of two different pieces of iron. They're both strong, but they're side by side. And this side by side reality is representative of unity and being able to, if we can come side by side, there's a load or a weight that we can bear together, and it can connect us to a destination that we share.
Reverend Jonathan Tremaine Thomas is pastor at Destiny Church in St. Louis. He will speak on Sunday in Kalamazoo at the Northside Ministerial Alliance's 32nd annual Martin Luther King Jr. celebration. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.